following is a previously broadcast program.
What's up, what's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Jealous of the rain that falls upon your skin. It's closer than my hands have been. I'm jealous of the rain. I'm jealous of the wind that ripples through your clothes. It's closer than your shadow. Oh, I'm jealous of the wind. 'Cause I wished you the best of all this world could give. And I told you when you left me, there's nothing to forgive. But I always thought you'd come back. Tell me all you found was heartbreak and misery. It's hard for me to say I'm jealous of the way you're happy without me. Jealous of the nights that I don't spend with you. I'm wondering who you lay next to. Oh, I'm jealous of the night. I'm jealous of the love. Love that wasn't here, gone for someone else to share. Oh, I'm jealous of the love. 'Cause I wished you the best of all this world could give. And I told you when you left me, there's nothing to forgive. But I always thought you'd come back. Tell me all you found was heartbreak and misery. It's hard for me to say I'm jealous of the way.
And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. But at least we'll both be beautiful and stay forever young. This I know, this I know. She told me don't worry about it. She told me don't worry no more. We both know we can't go without it. She told me you'll never.
When I'm with you, but I love it, but I love it. Oh, I can feel my face when I'm with you, but I love it, but I love it. Oh.
And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb, and she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary when we're deep in love. 'Cause I know. She told me
Yes, yes, we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and I'm in studios with...
Renee Jordan.
And on the line, we have a couple of folks joining us from the podcast known as Breakdown to Lowdown, which is hosted by Nikki Jean and Clarence Nicolas?
It depends. You know, in accent, Nicolas, man. However you wanna say it, man. I don't mind.
All right. And their show focuses on analyzing and dissecting new discovery R&B soul tracks in the first half, and in the second half of the episode, they discuss urban pop culture happenings, the bright and the not so bright ideas. Clarence and Nikki, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on. How are y'all doing?
Oh man, we're good. Thank you for having us. This is exciting. First of all, I just love your vibe. Like, I feel like I need to like take like, you know, ecstasy or something to match it. I need to be on some kind of drug.
Put it out there. I don't do drugs.
Disclaimer: like, neither do we.
The views of the guests do not represent those of the host. Yes, but yeah, thank you for having us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. So like, what we like to do in the beginning of the show is we like to check in with our guests and see how they're doing. It is COVID times. It is coronavirus times. So how are y'all holding up with all of this madness that's going on in the world right now?
Oh man, Clarence, go ahead.
To be honest, I just try to not be on social media like that and just do me, man. Like we almost seven months deep right now. Yeah, we 7 months deep into quarantine and all that. So I'm keeping myself busy, you know, working here and there and trying to change my mind, man. You know, we can't really see family like that, but, you know, keep in touch with the people that you care. And that's it, man. There's so much negativity out there. Like, if you keep watching the news and everything, you'll turn crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Be honest. So it's just a matter of keep your spirit high and, you know, do you?
Yeah, it's not easy at all. Like, I mean, I would say, like, for me, like, recently, like, in the last couple of weeks, it's definitely gotten tougher. Like, I think I'm just really getting to my limit with this whole situation. Like, I'm definitely ready for this to be done. But, yeah, you know, such is life. So, as Clarence was saying, we keep busy and we keep pushing.
Okay, so Breakdown to Lowdown. Tell us what that is about. You guys are analyzing R&B tracks, music tracks. How did this come together?
All right. Breakdown to Lowdown.
I'm going to let Nikki explain. She's the mastermind behind it.
Well, Breakdown to Lowdown, it's like, it's a love letter to R&B, essentially. We are big fans of music. We are people who like are very passionate about it, and we get into passionate discussions about it. And one thing that I find that people don't often debate or often discuss or often like even glorify is R&B. Like, we feel like the, you know, the genre, sometimes it gets a bad rep and people think, you know, hey, like, there's not much innovation going on in the genre. A couple of years, you know, that people were claiming that it's dead, but, you know, some, you know, new artists have like kind of reinvigorated it. It's a way for us to really show people that there are still a lot of interesting things happening in the genre, not only with the newer artists, but also with like some already popular artists and songs that you may not have known, like that they recorded. Like, this is the discovery tracks portion, and you know, we're kind of messy as well. So that's the whole urban pop culture part. So we have opinions, and our opinions extend further than the music. So it kind of just it gelled together and became like this beautiful thing.
Yeah. That's interesting, because I've also been feeling like R&B has been taking more of a backseat to hip hop and rap mostly now. So that it's interesting that that you decided to do a show that focuses on and brings to light R&B.
Well, yeah, that's really exactly the reason. It's because hip hop has kind of taken over what it means to be urban, if you know, for lack of, you know, a better term, but for urban music, it's like hip hop is what Black people are, or who we are, and hip hop is great. We love it. It has become part of mainstream culture. As a matter of fact, it is the culture. But there is this other wonderful side of us that we've pushed forward and that we've innovated in, and that has like and dominated the charts for many decades. That is now being like often disrespected. So it's like let's also talk about where this genre has gone and how it's still influencing today's music.
Why do you think that could be, that R&B was sort of pushed aside and is no longer the forefront of music?
Oh, you don't want to hear my answer to that?
Yeah,
I do. I really want. You know what? I have some opinions on it myself. So I'm like, I want to hear what you have to say.
I have my opinion too on it. It's just not in the forefront as before, but I feel like right now, because we talked about hip hop, if you pay attention to hip hop, like hip hop artists now, they singing their own hook. Usually back in the days, they would be like, you know what, let me get Usher on the hook and all that. Let me get The Dream on the hook. Let me get Tony Braxton on the hook or whatever. But now it's like, you know what, let me do my own hook. Like that, they playing with auto tune and all that, so you can see there's a certain influence that is still there from the R&B genre.
Yeah.
So you can't really get away from it, even though it's not pure R&B singers, but like you got people like Nicki might not agree. I know Nicki's stayed up on that opinion, but like you got people like Future. It's a different type of R&B.
Oh my God.
Doug, it's a different type of R&B. You know, like I can go on and on with the list, like, but I don't. It's just not in the forefront, like we said, but the influence is still there.
Well, I mean, I agree with Clarence in the fact that like music has kind of like the genres have blurred. So that definitely has kind of like shifted what is hip hop and what is R&B. But in terms of so many R&B artists dominating the charts and then they're seeming to have a switch occur, I think that, I mean, I think it's a lot. It's related to Blue Eyed Soul a lot, you know, with the introduction of many non-Black artists doing a similar kind of music. So if you look at like the late 90s, early 2000s, and you know, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Justin Timberlake era, it started to be a shift of like the of pop and hip hop and R&B, and it started to be like, oh, okay, it's kind of cool to be this way, and you know, to Robin Thicke, to Adele, to, you know, it kind of just became like, if they're doing this music and it's successful, we can do it, and then we don't really need Black artists to do it. It like, if you look at it that way, it can kind of look like it was like that's fine, like I can do you, Jill Scott. I can do that, Tyrese. Thank you so much. And it became like a shift where you look at the Ed Sheerans more than you look at you know, the Ushers, or more than you look at a Tank or somebody like that. And R&B just became kind of like not relevant, just not necessary.
Right.
That's interesting that you would say that they would take these, I guess you could say, Caucasian artists, and all of a sudden there's no need for the Black music because we have this fusion happening where you have Caucasian artists that are doing a bit of everything.
Right.
But there's the other side too, regarding what Nicki just said. Yes, you might see a lot of Caucasian R&B artists out there, but backstage in the back, like, you still have them writers, them jacks of all trades like Terrace Martin and all that at the end of the day, like, the lyrics that these Caucasian R&B artists be singing, like, it's from them though, so they still doing their part, I feel.
These background writers that you're talking about are Black writers.
Right. So there's a lot of them. They work on, they be working on a lot of projects that we
that is true
aware of.
That is true.
How does that make you feel to see like the Black writers, like the, I guess, the ghostwriter, and then the Caucasian artists to the forefront performing the song?
I mean, it's kind of like deja vu. I mean, except now it's legal technically. Okay. I mean, it's happened before. We see, you know, in the 60s and late 50s, white artists would just take this on.
And even further back than that, the
30s, 40s, yeah, even further 20s. Back, yeah. Even further back. They would just take it, and then you would kind of just have to deal with it. If your song was getting traction and it was, you know, kind of swiped up by a white artist, then, you know, it was what it was. Yeah. But now it's like, technically, well, we're paying you for it, so that's good, right?
Right.
I suppose if the person is being paid, but I mean, is being paid really everything that was, is?
Exactly. That was sarcasm, by the way. Like, it's good, right? But yeah, I mean, like, the thing is, there's so much heavy racial tension and conversations going on that it can easily come off as like, here it goes again, here goes that race card, you know, we're playing that again. But it's like, it's not a race card, it's not a cop out if there's fact behind it, you know, if there's a pattern behind it, if, you know, one, two, coincidence, maybe three, a pattern, four, a pattern, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So.
Huh. Yeah.
But there's a pattern, and I feel at the same time that even though through the pattern, we still the blueprint.
Right.
Like, they can say whatever they want or whatever, but we still the blueprint. Like, we set the tone. Like, we set the trends. So the whole industry motto or blueprint, it's us. So.
But it's still interesting that if you somehow package it white, that it comes out differently, or it's being marketed differently. And, you know, does it add to its success? Does it take away from its success? Does it change the end product? You know, are we better off? Because at the same time, like, you know, if I was out there and I was writing hit after hit after hit and then giving it to someone else to sing, they get all the accolades and maybe all the heat and all the Instagram play, and I can sit back and collect my check, and I can live my life, you know, as free as I want and out of the public eye.
Well, that's true, that's a plus. But I mean, at the same time, let's not kid ourselves with why it's easier to market certain people versus others. You know what I mean? There's also
white people.
Yeah, white people.
Say certain people. But, yeah, it's a black radio talk show. This talk.
Right. Let's get into it if we want to get into it. But
let's go.
It's like we know who buys music mostly. I mean, if it's consistently, if you look at the numbers, who is consistently supporting their artists is white people. Mm-hmm. So a lot of white artists are like the Taylor Swifts are able to do astronomical numbers above the Beyoncés, because not like Beyoncé is not a global superstar. However, for her to get the Taylor Swift or Adele numbers, there would have to be a sort of economic shift in the black community that we have not seen. So it's like, I mean, the amount of disposable income that certain groups have above black people is not to be ignored, right? Right. You know what I mean? Like, it's like there are other factors that these labels are the only thing that they're looking at. They're looking at who can pay. All right, so we're gonna please who can pay.
Yeah. Yeah. But if we look right now, though, like Taylor Swift, like, okay, she's an awesome name and all that, but in the past, like, 2-3 years, yo, hip-hop is dominating.
Yeah.
But why is hip-hop dominating, Clarence?
Why are we dominating?
Because white people love it.
Yeah, facts, but, like, if you pay attention to the charts, though, like, if it's not, like, the household name like Taylor Swift or any country singers, we know how country fans be, they support the artists, or like an old group like the Rolling Stone or whatever, like, it's hip-hop. And here and there, you can see a Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift will grab a me featuring from, I don't know, I'm just saying names like that, but Kendrick or Migos or whatever. But hip-hop is dominating, to be honest. Even though it's white people, but, like, yo, we out there. To the point that I remember, like, for a while, I don't know if you guys see, I'm being seen, but, like, Katy Perry was trying to, like, snatch features here and there and make some trap song, but it didn't work.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
I think it's a gift and a curse.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when it comes to R&B, like, there's something that I think we had in, like, maybe 20 years ago that we had 30 years ago, that we've had 40 years ago, that was associated with R&B, the love, the connection, the intimacy that in these years, I feel, is sort of lost.
Yeah.
And I think that's where people have sort of lost touch with the R&B world, is that we're no longer in the let's do a long, like, a courtship. Let me try and see what you're into. Let me try to romance you. It's more like, let me swipe and go, which flows with the hip hop scene, but doesn't really flow with the R&B scene.
I absolutely agree with you. And I think a part of that is, you know, once R&B artists started realizing, okay, you know, Robin Thicke's got this, he's doing the R&B thing. When I'm talking about love, it's not necessarily working. Hip hop influence kind of, you know, took over what became, you know, the new style of R&B, or the trap and B, or trap soul, as you want to call it. And I think a part of that trying to conform to what was working for Black artists, which is, you know, the hip hop thing and the rap singing thing, took some of the soul out of it, took some of the love out of it. And you're like, oh my gosh, like, everybody's like, you know, these hoes ain't loyal. Oh my gosh, I forgot radio. Can't say that. But, like, you know, it's more crude. It's less loving. I think that has to do with artists just frantically trying to figure out who they are.
So we're going to take a quick break, pay the bills, and play a little music, and we'll get back to you. So keep it locked. You're listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Show my face.
We're back, and you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and I'm in studios with...
Renee Jordan.
And we are talking to Nikki Jean and Clarence Nicholas about their podcast called The Breakdown to Lowdown, which focuses on R&B. And before the break, Renee, you had an interesting question for them.
Yeah, I was just curious how, given the what R&B has been through, how you plan to revive it, or how you revive R&B music, resurrect it, if I may say, in your podcast, and do the research to find these new artists that are not radio played artists, I'm guessing. So how do you find it?
Okay, I'll take this, I guess, since Clarence didn't say anything. Okay, I feel like R&B, maybe it's because, you know, we are in it every day. I don't feel like I'm necessarily in a place to revive it or resurrect it. I feel like it's here, you know, it's just, I mean, it used to be on life support. I think now it's like,
I mean, life support.
Like, they're definitely awake, you know, like, they're discussing You May Go Home in like a couple of weeks, you know, like, it's coming back. And the thing is, these artists are making it pretty easy for me. There's actually a lot of good R&B out there if you look, and if you're engrossed in it. There's so much soul R&B music that comes out on the daily. And, you know, Clarence and I, being really into music, like, are tapped into these sources. Like, there's great blog sites like This Is R&B, Rated R&B, R&B Only, that you can, like, look at it, you know, new music comes out often. And we have people like Jasmine Sullivan. We have greats like Anderson .Paak.
Jasmine Sullivan. I thought she retired.
Nah, she back.
No, Jasmine's not retired.
She's been there, though.
Jay Sully, she's here. She just, actually, she released a new single a couple months ago.
Really? I thought she was done with music. Okay.
No, she's still here. Anderson .Paak. You know, see, that's why you need to listen to our show. Because it's going to let you know, like, what just came out, what you missed, what you need to hear. That's what we do. Like, they're like, even Jacquees, who calls himself the new king of R&B, which is asinine if you ask me. But
why is that?
Because he's not, you can't have one album and be the king of anything, sir. But
true.
But he's good. Like, he really is good. I'm not gonna lie, he is talented.
I would say goes gold in a matter of seconds.
But even then, like, the king, like, because I feel like, you know, we can get into that another time, but
that's another debate for another day.
It's another debate.
I just want to add
Summer Walker. Sorry, Clarence, give me some artists that are currently out, because now I'm blanking. And
you got my Mahalia, you got
yes, Mahalia,
you got Jacquees, you got White Gay Osiris, he's one of the youngins.
Mm-hmm.
You got
her.
SZA. I keep messing up the name all the time, but I feel like
mainstream. There are some new art. There's some good ones mainstream, and then behind the scenes, you know, come to the show.
No, the future is in good hands, to be honest, when it comes to R&B. And I feel like now, to be honest, because you mentioned that you wish that it went gold in like minutes, but I don't feel like numbers matters anymore now. Like, we're in an era, like, yo, if you want that music, you know what? You one click away. So there's no excuses. And I say all the time when I talk about the podcast, that we're just good messenger when it comes to the music. Mm-hmm. Like, I know my music. Nikki knows her music. But there might be some new release that I don't even know, or some artist that I don't even know. Sometimes, like, at least once in a while, like, I learn from new artists, from Nikki.
So do you feel
we've been looking for good music out there, so it's a reason to listen to the podcast.
Do you feel like there are any artists that have come out as of late that will have like sort of a long lasting effect, like their music will be around for years?
This is funny, because that's a funny question, because we recently had this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having a lot of trouble. Like, that, I thought that was a really good question. But, and we were looking at it not even just in terms of R&B, just like even in hip hop or like overall pop. Who was a current artist that had longevity staying power, because I think we're talking about Mariah Carey and Toni Braxton and how they were still being talked about. And I was just like, wow, I can't really pinpoint one person, because the industry isn't as it used to be. Like, artists aren't built the same way that they used to be. The artist development is a thing of the past. Like, people just come out and they have their single and they're put on the radio right away, where it used to be like, you know, we sign you, it takes a year, 2 years to develop you, then, you know, you go through your media training, you go, you know, you get your stylist, you do that. Like, it used to be a whole process. So of course they learned how to stay and how to remain, and it was like quality. But if I were to say somebody, like, I think Anderson .Paak has a potential. I think her has potential. I think if Summer Walker gets her like anxiety and the social speaking, whatever was wrong there, if she gets that together, she has staying power. Somebody told me Doja Cat, and I can't confirm this because I'm not a big listener of her music, but apparently she's very like talented and she has that power, that potential of that staying power. So I'm like, okay. I also think Ariana Grande. But I know that's not R&B. I was just thinking bigger pop sounds. Yeah. I think she has staying power, but, you know, only time will tell.
So how do you think that, because you said that the old way was that you get accepted into a company, a production company, and they start building you up from the ground, and then you get your training and da-da-da-da-da, and you go through steps. What do you think has changed? Has caused that change where, like, now you just have your single and you're automatically put in the forefront? Like, what's the change? What's the shift that happened in that kind of development?
Money.
There's money, but again, like I said before, now we just one click away. We don't need the label no more. I can just go pick up a YouTube beat and like put my stuff on DistroKid, and in not even like an hour, it's on Spotify, it's everywhere. Or I just need a viral hit, whatever. So I feel like for the label, the way that they see it, like, it's not even worth it to invest in artist development anymore. So.
But that's what I'm saying. It's a thing of money. Music became so accessible, and the labels were losing money so rapidly. They just didn't have the funds to spend on artist development. So they're just looking for the most ready-made artist, or the artist with the most buzz already that they don't have to create, and they don't have to spend that much money on, and they're going to sign that person and make their single a hit and try to recuperate as quickly as possible. It's money.
Highest return on investment on the lowest investment.
Exactly.
So basically, if you're an artist and you have three tracks that are ready and they seem like they're going to be fire, I can pay you $10,000 to, and I'm grossly exaggerating, and hopefully we'll recruit $1 million, and I don't have to worry about investing in your development and all of that stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely. Labels are scrambling. They're about to be obsolete.
Right.
Obsolete. I don't know if they can be obsolete, because they have quite a catalog of old artists.
Yeah, label will always be there.
They might change in terms of their end goals and what they look to do. Maybe they would move into award shows only, or like
right. You know. Labels as we know them, like, will be different. It, like, they're edging towards irrelevancy.
I don't think so, to be honest. I don't agree with that, Nikki. I'll tell you
that's why. Fine. There's a lot of that on our show.
No, but it's all good. It's all good. No, but I'm saying that because it's not every artist that can take the independent route. There's some artists, like, they don't want to educate themselves on a certain level, so they'd rather pay for that service.
They just want to be artists. They don't want to be the entrepreneur.
Yeah, they don't want to go through all the logistics and all that, so they rather deal with the label. I remember I was listening to Drink Champs, and Nori was like, "Oh, I tried the independent route, but I'm so used to the label, I'd rather stay with the label. But now I got that leverage, I can negotiate, because he's an OG in the game." But he was like, he's not the only artist thinking like that. There's a lot of them thinking like that. So
you talking about older artists. Nori, you know, is tried and true to the game. Mark my words, a lot of these newer artists that are coming up, are going to take an independent route. Many people are not signing deals anymore.
Well, I think the type of deal that they've been signing has changed, though. The type of deal has become...
Yeah, you might sign a distribution deal. You might sign a one-album deal. You might, like, something with the, you know, lowest level of commitment. But it's definitely not, like, these huge, huge deals that used to be signed, you know, that used to shake up the industry.
Yeah, of course, definitely.
So, you guys, besides or outside of the podcast itself, there was, I guess, a reason... sort of deep behind why you would want to even have a podcast to begin with. From what I understand, Nikki, you're an artist yourself, and Clarence, you're a promoter.
Event production.
Okay, event production. Yeah. Are they musical events or?
Musical events, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So tell us a little bit about the other part of yourselves prior to, you know, coming together and doing the podcast.
Sure, go ahead, Clarence.
Well, for myself, for people that don't know, I've been into event production in the past 4 years. I'm part of the group that curates The Shed, the DJ Battle, and Rhythm and Brunch. And all these events are music related. For The Shed, it's like 100% live session with some local artists and an international guest. The DJ Battle, it's more focused on the DJs. The DJs are in Montreal and in Canada in general. And we got Rhythm and Brunch, which is a brunch event. And we have a DJ on the spot providing R&B music.
So, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Rhythm and Brunch. And I'm guessing because of COVID, Rhythm and Brunch has sort of been put on ice.
So everything is on hold for now because of COVID, you know, because we've been dealing with venue. Mm-hmm. So it's on hold for now. But all these even been music related. The reason I took that turn is because, like, I'm not an artist. I know my limit. I know my skills. No, it's fact. You don't want to hear me sing. But anyways, I can sing in my shower. But anyway. So I was like, you know what? I don't know. How should I get involved in the music in the music industry without being the forefront? So I just figured that by doing events related to music, like that would be the path for me. Mm-hmm. And
the shed is where does the shed occur normally?
Usually, the twist that we have with the shed is that we usually reveal the location 24 hours in advance. Oh. So we change the venue all the time. It's like an intimate session.
Okay, and that's R&B based as well?
R&B, funk, soul, jazz.
Mm-hmm. And these are all local artists?
Yeah, local artists, and we always have an international guest. It can either be like a keyboardist, a drummer, a vocalist, etc.
Okay.
And you're based in Montreal, Ottawa, where?
Everything is based in Montreal.
Okay.
Montreal, yep. For myself, I do a lot of things, so it's like, but I'm a media communications professional. I've been hosting for like, let's say for 6 years. Started off with radio. I still do radio, actually. I was hosting a show in Ottawa. Now, being in Montreal, I host a bi-weekly show, actually, on CKUT called The Spot. I'm also an artist myself, so, you know, when coming here, I came for grad school. It kind of was a little bit more difficult to keep the music going, but now, like, you know, I'm really excited that a lot of new music is coming. I've been writing, I've been working with a lot of dope people, and some of the people like that I've met through the podcast too, like, and like having guests on, which is like super cool as well. I also host a Instagram live TV show with a friend, my friend Kay, who's a co-host here on the Morning Detour Friday mornings. So, you know, it's all connected together. And I also have, outside of my professional career in media and communications, I also do consulting on the side and communications. I provide communication services for people. So I write press releases, communication plans, marketing strategies if you need it. You know, you can always hit me up for that. Yeah, that's what I do.
So we're going to take a quick break, pay the bills, and play a little music, and we'll get back to you. So keep it locked. You're listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
We're back. It is Tuesday evening, and you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and I'm on the air with
Renee Jordan.
And we have two hosts from the Breakdown to Lowdown podcast, Nikki Jean and Clarence Nicholas. Welcome back. Well, welcome. And yeah, so before the break, we were talking a little bit about them individually outside of their podcast. And we want to know, how do people get in touch with you, Clarence, about your events that you're hosting, and Nikki, to find out about your music and the services that you provide?
All right. As for myself, if you want to get all the infos, from my personal page, Who Is Mr. Cool? And when it comes to the shed MTL on IG, the DJ Battle, welcome to DBL, and the brunch, welcome to R&B.
Yes, and for myself, you can follow my personal at Nikki Music at NikyMusique. The music is spelled in French. And you can, you'll be able to reach out all of my services. You'll see like different segments I've done for CBC and different services that I provide. You know, all of that is on there. And for The Spot, which is the radio show, at The Spot 903 on Instagram, at The Spot 903 on Twitter.
Great, great. So for the breakdown to lowdown, there's two parts of the show itself. The first part is focusing on analyzing and dissecting new and discovering R&B soul tracks. And in the second half, it's a little bit different, still along the same vein of pop culture, urban pop culture, but it's a little bit different. So tell us a little bit about the second half of the show.
The second segment is a place where we can be honest with everybody, and we can like look at some of the, important issues that have happened, and sometimes not so important, just kind of like frivolous things that have sparked major conversations throughout the week. Like recently, we just had the younger woman, older man conversation, and it was sparked by a line that Drake said in a song.
What was the line?
Clarence, the line? Something about SZA. Oh, I used to date SZA back in 08 or something. And people started doing the math, and they were kind of like assuming that, she was underage in 08 versus he would have been older. And then there was a clarification of, actually, no, SZA said it was 09, and he probably just used 08 because it rhymed with weight or whatever that was. But it kind of like...
And the 1 year made all the difference?
Well, I guess she was... It's like from 17 to 18, basically.
I find that so interesting. Because it really is just 1 year, and which makes it more of a law thing than anything else.
Yeah. It's absolutely a law thing, at that point. But yeah, and that sparked a bigger conversation of like, hey, like, what do you think of that? Like an older man and a younger woman, and we see that so often in society, and people seem to have like certain feelings about the age gap. Like if it's like 10, 15 years, it's kind of like too much. But if it's like 5 years, it's okay. That sparked a conversation. So things like that, or separating the music from the art, which is like, whenever one of our favorite artists or actors or comedians does something, it's like, how do you still enjoy the work?
Or can you, or should you?
That's a recurring topic.
Okay, so you kind of go into the politics of music, or the politics behind the music, or sort of, I guess, the new age of music, where you no longer have an artist who is just an artist releasing music. They're also on different platforms sharing what they had for lunch, who they saw at lunch, mm-hmm. who they went to bed with, who they woke up with, and whose tattoo is that in the picture with so-and-so,
Right.
That's the era we in right now. Like, we in their life. It's not like back in the days, like, we like, oh, shit, what is Michael Jackson be eating for breakfast or whatever? Now it's in your face. So that's what we talk in general on the second segment. Like, it's the part where, like, we get to share our point of view, our opinion. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And really pick apart the music, I guess.
Yeah, and sometimes, like, and even music industry news, like when, the Grammys decided that they were going to take the word urban out of some of their categories, or when Spotify decided it was going to, quote unquote, mute certain artists on their platform after the whole R. Kelly documentaries. Like, so we definitely get into those topics as well.
Okay. I think You know what? It just brought something to mind that I heard a couple weeks ago, and it sort of blends in with the R&B. A few weeks ago, they had said that Usher will now be performing in one of those big casinos in Vegas. Like, now he has sort of like the Celine.
Yeah, he has a residency.
Yeah, going on in Vegas. Well, hopefully they say next year, but maybe it might be the year after. We don't know.
Right.
And then someone had asked another artist if they would be interested in doing the same thing, and they said no. That's where artists go to die. Yeah. And I was like,
Yeah.
Never thought of it like that. I figured, you know, Vegas would be a constant cash flow. People are there all the time. But, like, is it, do you think that's the end of the career? Is that the end of R&B? And Usher was one of those artists that sort of resonated with a lot of people. Like, I mean, I work with people from different backgrounds. And sometimes when it comes to, like, office music, it's like, okay, what do you play? And I think new age R&B, it's sort of hard to strike a chord with them. But when I play Usher, it seems to be a crowd pleaser.
Yes, Usher was and is an icon, you know. But residency is funny. People have different perspectives on it. Some people do see it as like that last ditch effort that is the like career graveyard. But I don't see it that way, because I feel like you only get offered residency if you're a legend. Like, I mean, I'm thinking of the people who have done residencies, Celine, Tony, Usher being offered this is like huge in my opinion. Like, I don't really see why people think that, because it's maybe because it's like that steady flow of income, and it kind of signifies maybe money issues. Usually it's associated with that. Oh, like you need to be performing every night, and in one venue it's like cheap to produce, and I don't know, but I think it's kind of like an honor.
It's an honor, to be honest. Like, they're not gonna give a residency to anybody out there just for the hell of it. Like,
right.
Like, it's an honor, and the bag is crazy when it comes to residency. So I don't see where the hate comes from, to be honest.
Right. I don't know if it was so much hate, or if it was more so, you know, we don't really see those artists as much, and it means like the end of the tour life. So the end of the artist coming to your city. You know, you being able to have access without going to Vegas to that artist. And also because they're going to be doing this every night thing, you don't really expect to get a lot of new music from them either.
Well, they kind of earn their stripes. They earn that status to the point they're like, you know what, I don't have to do city to city or go to Europe, this and that, do a 52 tour. Like, nah, like, if you want to see me, come to Vegas. Like... Mm. That's the way that I see it, to be honest.
But also, when you think about these artists that get these residencies, these are not the 20-year-old and 30-year-old artists. These are Usher is like in his 40s now, at the very least.
I think so. Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's late 30s, early 40s at the least. So these are people that are kind of reaching. They've passed their prime. They're a little bit past their prime.
What?
And they're kind of like, you know what?
What are you saying?
They're when seasoned. When you turn 40, you know, I don't know, like, there's very few people.
Usher is 41. Usher is 41. I don't know if he would. I don't know if he would appreciate you saying that he's past his prime.
He's a little bit past his prime. Your prime is in your 30s. He's mid to late 30s.
I just, from what you're saying, Kim, I just picture Usher coming in on... with a walker.
Oh God. I did not say that or imply that. All I was saying is that if your physical body can only take so much for so long, and Usher and Beyonce and all of these artists are artists that sing and dance, and they're going from city to city it's not an easy thing to do. So if you get a residency,
please don't clap too loud. We don't want to study him.
It's not an easy thing to do, because like there's a physical toll that it takes, and if you have a residency, then you're cutting out a lot of a lot of travel time, which exhausts your body and your mind. Yeah. You're able to do more on a.
It sounds like you're saying like he's doing his residency because you know he's about to croak.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all.
I understand what he's saying. To be honest, like, and just to add on what he's saying, like people like Usher, don't get me wrong, but the music is not his main focus anymore. He got multiple business venture here and there, so they got a reach meeting and all that. So if you pay attention, like...
And he has kids to take care of.
Yeah. Well, he just had a new kid, I don't know. Maybe
who knows what these are.
New baby mama or...
New baby mama, yeah.
No, we don't know Usher being out there. So.
Anything is possible. Well, what I'm saying is that having that stability of being in one place and, you know, if like, I'm just hypothesizing, but if it's that he moved to Las Vegas, so he can move his family to Las Vegas and have something that's consistent as opposed to every week he's in a new location or every 2 to 3 days he's in a new location.
And, absolutely. You know, so, it definitely has benefits. Like, I think it's stellar. Like, it's amazing. Why would you not want a residency?
Yeah.
If they offered me a residency, I'd be like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Like it's like the best of both worlds. You get to sing and dance. I mean, maybe the every night thing is a little exhausting, but you know,
I would say maybe 4 or 5 nights a week. I would think is a lot.
I think that's what they do. Yeah. Five is a lot.
I would say Thursday to Sunday would be maybe one day. But I don't know. I'm not in Vegas. I haven't gone to Vegas, so I can't even speculate. But I don't think it's somewhere where you go to die, but I mean, like you were saying, Clarence, you earn your stripes, you get there, and now you can change the way that you look at your career. But I must say that the amount of new material that we hear, like I haven't heard much new material from Celine Dion since she got her residency, you know?
Now, and actually, the line that Vegas is where you go to die was Paul McCartney that said that.
Oh.
Mm.
And that is a seasoned artist.
Interesting that he would say that. Well, I don't agree with you, Mr. McCartney, but I think that, oh my gosh, I forgot your previous question statement, Kim, because I had to come back, but I've already forgotten what you said. Celine Dion not releasing music. I think that for us, because I mean, I love Celine Dion, you know, she, you know, shout out to the hometown girl. But if I could say that I follow her in, like, you know, attentively, I don't. So I'm sure her fans would beg to differ. You know, I recently heard that she had released an album. Like, I haven't listened to it or I don't even know the name, but I knew that there was new Celine music out. And I'm sure that her fans have, like, consumed the material. But she's at a point.
I think it was 2 years. It's 2 years old now.
Her 2 years? Okay.
Thing. Yeah.
Okay. Because I would say that people like herself, Mariah Carey, like these legends, like if they release music, it is just specifically for the fans. Like if they don't really care if it reaches the masses or not, because why would you?
Oh, but Mariah Carey releasing music, it really goes to the masses. I mean, Mariah Carey just released some new music, and she released something. I think it's 30 years since her debut album. And
yeah.
she released
the rarities.
The rarities from back then that she, and people are like, well, why didn't you release this music before? So, I mean, these are people who have been working on music